This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Speaking of water and new malls and new movie theaters and new roads and highways and byways, Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development. How are you, sir? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
We have a lot to talk about.
We do.
We're sitting here.
We're
sitting here during the break before we go on talking about all these things that we haven't talked about. Lots of good stuff. It was a big, nice, long holiday weekend. Did you sleep in? That's my question for you.
No.
Did you have a day where you actually got to really sleep in?
Did not.
Now, whatever happened to that?
I miss that a lot.
Because I'm the same way. Whatever happened to that in our life? I mean, my wife would say, what are you talking about? You get to sleep in all the time, but not like I used to.
You should get one day a
month. I used to sleep in and then go to lunch. You know? I mean, my freshman year of college, I used to sleep in and miss dinner, but that's another story.
The mistake I made was I started work the day after graduation from UVA. That was a big mistake.
Did you really? What were you thinking, Brian?
I remember shaking Larry Sabato's hand as I was getting my diploma. And I said, Larry, I'm so excited. I start my new job tomorrow. And he's like, congratulations, Brian.
You're crazy.
Yeah, he didn't tell me that, but he should have.
Goodness.
He should have tackled me right there.
Yeah. Son, get thee to a ski resort or behind a bar or, you know, something and just have fun for a year.
I'd already done the restaurants, you know, during college.
So you were ready for, you know what you would have been perfect as? Because you had all of that experience working, I was going to say animal rescue, but you were an EMT, right?
I was.
You were a professional. By the time you graduated from college, you were a pro EMT, very experienced, pulling people out of car wrecks and plane wrecks and all sorts of stuff. You should, but you've been a great one of those guys on
the
ski resort.
You're embellishing my record a little bit there.
You know those guys on the ski resort who like ski down when you've wrecked,
right?
And fix your leg.
Yeah,
you would have been one of those guys. Ski patrol. There you go.
Except I wouldn't have been able to stop. I would have just run over them. I'll call somebody when I get to the bottom.
I thought you skied.
I can ski.
You could learn if you were ski patrol.
You know, if I hit a series of moguls, though, that's bad news.
Yeah. I can't even stand up on those things.
The only skiing I'm doing right now is on the Wii at home.
There you go.
You know, the entertainment system.
So
what did you do?
Had a wonderful time. I got to tell you, on my holiday break, I went to this place called the Virginia Safari Park. That's the brochure right there.
I see it.
Brian, you got to go. It is so worth the drive. If you have a child in your life that's like anywhere under the age of like 20 and under, they'll love it. I loved it.
It looks like most of Africa is in this thing.
It's fantastic. You go there, you pay a little money, and you know, it's not cheap. I think it was like $14 for adults, but then you buy these buckets of food that look like rabbit food or you know, guinea pig food, and they're in these little white plastic buckets, and then you drive through the woods, and it takes like an hour to go on through the whole thing. You drive up and down through the hills, and all these critters just walk up to your car and eat out of the bucket. You're not supposed to feed them out of your hand. So you hold the bucket. And I got pictures of like zebras and ox and all of these huge animals with their head like reaching in the car and the kids are yelling. And my daughter said it was one of the funnest things she's ever done in her life.
That would be neat to have the animal. They're sticking their heads inside your car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. And all I kept thinking was these ones would start walking over to the car, and they got these huge horns. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, please don't scratch my car.
I'm noticing two things on this brochure that you gave me, Coy.
Yes.
One says, notice, this is at the bottom in big print. Notice, please read.
Yeah.
All persons entering do so at their own risk. We will not be responsible for injuries to any individual or damage to any vehicle.
Yep. There ain't no ski patrol there.
And then it says, honk your horn if you need help.
Right, right. The only help we needed was when the camel took my plastic bucket right out of my hands. He wasn't even trying to get the food. He was trying to get the bucket.
He's messing with you.
Oh, yeah. And then he gets it, and then they run around and they chase him. It's like a game. They all chase the camel with the bucket. Very funny.
Did you ever listen to Prairie Home Companion?
I've heard that once or twice.
Lake Wobegon.
Yeah.
Stories from Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
He did a great one about, I think the elephant's name was Mazumbo. And he takes the kids in this like Volkswagen Bug to the circus. And then they're leaving and they see Mazumbo tied up, you know, outside the big circus tent.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, Daddy, Daddy, take us over to the elephant. Take us over to the elephant. And so they drive over there and they roll down the windows and Mazumbo's trunk, you know, starts sneaking its way through the Volkswagen, trying to find all the food. And they're feeding it everything they've got. They're going through the groceries. And then Mazumbo starts lifting up the car.
Well, there was no elephant here.
Yeah.
So, but after you go through the, this is Virginia Safari Park down near Lexington. After you go through that, you park, then there's like a walk-through zoo park that has stuff like monkeys and things that you wouldn't walk up to your car. Pigs and tigers and really cool stuff.
Looks like neat stuff.
Yeah, we had the time of our life. It was so much fun.
We were playing soccer down in Williamsburg, your old stomping grounds.
Indeed. Love the Berg.
Son Sam had a little soccer tournament.
Did you go to Paul's Deli?
I did. Abby and I, my daughter and I, were walking around William and Mary in the historic district right there because they merge right there.
Yeah.
And we were a little anxious because we were walking around during the UVA-Cornell lacrosse game.
Ooh.
And so we sort of had to see a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So I would walk up in the old district part of Williamsburg and say, you know, is there a bar with a TV around here? And everyone's like, no, not really, except, you know, two blocks away at Paul's.
Yeah.
And so we finally, everyone was consistently saying, go to Paul's. So we went to Paul's. Nobody's in there. I mean, there's a small group of people in there.
But they had it on the TV, didn't
they? But it's in the afternoon. And they had it on a little small TV.
Yeah.
And I said, I really like it much better if you put it on that real big plasma thing you've got on the wall in the back. And they did. And so Abby and I sat there and watched a quarter of the game at Paul's.
I have many memories of Paul's Deli in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan was president.
Why is that? Why do you remember?
Because that's when I was in college.
Yeah.
They're sort of fuzzy memories.
It wasn't like they had pictures
of Ronald.
Paul
serves beer.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Well, that's where we drank, you know, back in the day. That was the place to party, man.
But there aren't many places like that right near the college.
No, there's not. William & Mary doesn't have
like a corner.
They don't have like a corner.
Right.
They have what they call the delis. And there's Paul's, and there's what they call the college, which is the college deli, and then the Greenleaf Cafe, which was for upperclassmen. You had to be 21 to get in there.
Okay.
And because they serve hard drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Good memories. But no, there's not much. Not much there. So did you go out to dinner besides Paul's?
The only place we went out to dinner, we stayed one night, Saturday night. So it was at the hotel. We stayed at, what's it called? The Woodlands, the old, it's like where the visitor center is.
Yeah.
For Williamsburg.
Right, right.
And I think it's called Woodlands, but they've renovated that recently. So we had dinner there at the hotel.
I had dinner at Cracker Barrel last night in Waynesboro.
Yeah.
Brian, it was awesome.
Did you eat your vegetables?
I did have some vegetables. I had the corn, carrots, a little macaroni and cheese, and then I got this chicken that's like fried chicken without bones. It's the best chicken I've ever had in my life.
Did you have any pie, Coy?
No, we didn't have pie. I was so full that I didn't. But I went with my daughter, and she's so funny. We were like passing the fork back and forth. Try this. No, try this. It was fantastic. Who knew Cracker Barrel had such good food?
They have a big assortment of food there.
They do. Are you a big Cracker Barrel fan?
I'm not.
You're not?
I mean, I've been there, and it's fun every once in a while.
I used to be like you, Brian.
Yeah.
But then I went to Cracker Barrel, and I discovered
Sam and
they got that gift shop.
Sam and I were on another trip. I think it was a Cub Scout overnight down at one of the museums in Virginia Beach, and we stopped at a Cracker Barrel on the way.
Yeah.
And it didn't go over too well with Sam.
Really?
I don't know what it was.
The menu's huge. You can get anything you want.
Sam, if you're listening, call up and tell us what your problem is.
Yeah, that's good food. Plus, they got that gift shop and the rocking chairs.
That's true.
So you can sort of chill out after your meal.
When I go into a town, I like to find those hole-in-the-wall kind of places that only the locals know about.
Yeah.
Like Paul's.
Like a Paul's Deli in Williamsburg. Right.
That's good. My preference.
What would it be here?
Well.
Any place on the corner, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff downtown.
Places on downtown mall. And
yeah. You want to talk a little growth and development?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk growth and development. Give us a preview of some of the things we're going to be talking about today.
Well, tonight we've got a Republican caucus, so we're going to pick some candidates in the Samuel Miller District. We'll talk about Regional Transit Authority. Remember when they were talking about joining forces, city, county?
Yeah, they want to build that Coy Barefoot train from Crozet to downtown.
Talk about that. water, of course. Fontaine Research Park and more.
Good stuff. All right. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. We're going to talk about growth and development when we get back. Stay with us. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Sausage. 23 minutes after 5, 23 after 5. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. Happy Tuesday. Glad you're with us. We just had a call, a report of a stalled vehicle on Georgetown Road. Right as you turn off of Barracks Road, folks are having trouble turning off of Barracks onto Georgetown, so keep that in mind if you're headed out that way. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. And Paul's waiting patiently on line one. Paul, you're on with Brian. You go right ahead.
Hey, Brian. How are you today?
Good.
You know, I was just listening to what you were talking about in terms of the places to eat, and I think that you just came up with a remarkable new quest. Now, last year you did the pies.
Right.
And I think this year, if you would organize a group to, because I'm like you, I love to find those little hole-in-the-wall places, you know, in and about town. And to maybe instead of just doing pies, to the best hole-in-the-wall places, you know, in Charlottesville and get you and your group together, I think that would be outstanding.
Do some real research into the best local restaurant that just screams Charlottesville.
I'm going to need a personal trainer to go along with this, I think.
Well, couldn't you provide that? I mean,
yeah, I can do that. I have a stomach that would oblige.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you may have several people who may want to take you up on that, Brian.
Absolutely.
But I think it would be an awesome task.
Paul, where would you go?
Well, I have a Gus Burger.
Right.
I think on the
white
I'd
spot.
I'd go to the Nook.
Right.
Another
yeah.
place I'd go. I think that I would. I would have to. Oh, there's a little New Orleans restaurant on Main Street. I'm trying to think of the name of it.
Hmm.
I certainly would go there, but there are a lot of places. Tiffany's is a great seafood.
Tiffany's
place.
Seafood, yeah.
Tiffany's Seafood. I mean, it used to be right there across from U Heights, and now it's in the
over by
Alabama
Giant
Square. In that mall. So I mean, those would be some of the places I'd start with. But I've never seen a compilation of. You know, those restaurants. I think that would be just something that would really be beneficial for folks.
And, you know, if you put Brian's skills on it, Mr. Website Guy with
right.
slideshows and podcasts, and that would be so cool. Would Bodo's make that list, you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bodo's would have it.
Bodo's would sort of have to be on the list.
You could get a different bagel at each Bodo's.
Yeah. Or salad, soup,
right.
and then buy a T-shirt.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there's just... There's so many places, but just think about it as an idea.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call.
Take care.
Excellent suggestion, and we appreciate you listening to the program. There's Paul on line one, and the phone lines, of course, are open at 977-1070. So you got a new mission in life now.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm always
hungry. I want
hungry.
A Gus Burger.
I'm always hungry.
I took my kids down to get a Gus Burger, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
They had never had one before. And that was good.
What'd they think? Did they literally order a
Actually,
Gus Burger?
Actually, they did not get the original Gus Burger. They just got a hamburger.
And which, for folks who don't know, and they just moved here.
Burger with a egg on it.
With a fried egg on it.
Fried egg.
Which purportedly was the was originally ordered by a doctor from the university, supposedly back in the 60s, would go in and ask for a burger with an egg on top for extra protein.
Mm-hmm.
That's unconfirmed, but that's the best I was able to dig up when I was doing the history of the corner, that it was actually a UVA doctor who invented it. And of course, when the White Spot first opened in 1953, it didn't have the Gus Burger yet. It was most popular for its hot dog with cheese and bacon.
Interesting. And now Gus works there, right? I mean, he's the owner, and he's still there.
Is there a Gus there now?
Isn't there?
I have no idea. I haven't been in there in a while.
I think there is. I mean, the guy who's in there, and somebody can call back and correct me, but if you look at the pictures all around inside,
yeah,
same guys in all the pictures.
Ooh,
and then and he
weird.
Was,
it's like a lost thing.
And he was there when I was there. So I assume that was Gus.
Man.
But
it's like Richard Alpert. It's like Richard Alpert from Lost.
But you, well, I don't know about that.
You watched Lost?
I haven't.
Oh, Brian.
I'm still...
We got to get you to a meeting.
It's on my list. Got to get me out of meetings.
Well, we're up against the clock. We're going to have to break for local news and weather, and then we'll hit this growth and development when we get back. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. We're talking food and growth and development right here at Must Be Tuesday. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Watching the sun bake. It's 38 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot, and I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. Despite the rain, despite the slippery roads and all the accidents we got going on out there, we'll have a full update for you at the top of the hour. Happy Tuesday. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. And of course, there is now SeavillePedia.org.
.org,
which is the new Wikipedia for Central Virginia. And you can check that out. Jim Duncan was in here last week just singing your praises. He said, that's the coolest thing.
Cool.
Because you get, like you've said before, you can have that sort of niche micro information that won't make Wikipedia.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody wrote me the other day and had a comment for us on city council history. And I wrote him back and I said, well, no, you can help correct or, you know, tell history accurately.
Yeah. Now you don't have to send me the email. Just go to Wikipedia and write your little article edit the existing article.
We're looking for, you know, facts, citations. You know, we want to be accurate. Yeah. Something that can get more accurate over time and people can rely on it. And
so you could go in there and say, Coy Barefoot says that the fried chicken at the Cracker Barrel in Waynesboro is to die for. It's worth a hop over the mountain.
That would be in Waynesboropedia.
Okay. So get us up to date now. We've got big elections this year.
We got
to
talk fast.
And is the Republican caucus tonight?
It is.
Wow. Awesome.
So they will be the contested nomination is for the Samuel Miller district seat. This is the seat being vacated by Sally Thomas, who is retiring.
That's a big district.
And we have two candidates, Philip Malika, who we talked about on the last show, and Dwayne Snow. In fact, if you go to SeavillePedia, search for Dwayne Snow, you'll find a little bit of information about him, as well as the video of his announcement event, which was last week.
Very cool.
And so the Republicans will be picking their candidate tonight, and that's at 6:30 at McIntyre Park, one of the picnic shelters there.
In the rain?
Well, you know, they haven't told us it's going to be somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
So 6:30 McIntyre Park. You might want to get there a little early. Usually there's a registration process, but this is what's called a mass meeting or a caucus, an assembled caucus.
What the Democrats used to do in Charlottesville over at the Performing Arts Center.
That's right. And what the Democrats in the county are still doing. They did theirs at Lane Auditorium, and you know they had, I want to say, 121 people vote in the Samuel Miller district race. That was between Madison Cummings and I'm blanking on the other person's name.
But Madison Cummings got the nomination.
He got the nomination. And so whoever the Republicans pick tonight will face Madison Cummings and John Lowry, who's running as an independent. So that will be at least a three-way race. Independents have until June 9th to get on the ballot.
I love all these candidates. Strong democracy. You have lots of parties and nominees, and that's good stuff.
And the person's name who I was blanking on was Lucia Finney.
That's right.
She did not get the nomination.
Now, can anybody go, if you're a Republican, but do you have to be a Republican in the Samuel Miller district to go tonight?
Correct.
So Republicans from the Samuel Miller, how do you know if you're in the Samuel Miller district?
Well, you can go to the State Board of Elections website and plug in your address. It will tell you what district you're in.
Perfect.
Yes.
And that's vsbe.org.
I'll take your word for it.
I think it is.
If you Google Virginia State Board of Elections, you'll find it.
Yeah.
And there's a precinct location lookup.
So Phil Malika and Dwayne Snow vying for the Republican nomination for the Armagh County Board of Supervisors. Samuel Miller District, that meeting is tonight. And when is that again?
6:30.
So
get there a little early.
Just over 45 minutes from
they
now.
They will also be picking Rodney Thomas as their candidate for the Rio District to face David Slutsky. They're not expected to have a candidate in the Jack Jewett district, which means we expect Dennis Rooker to be unopposed.
I wonder why that is.
Well, I think they, well,
just didn't have a candidate.
It's a number of reasons. Yeah. You have to have somebody willing to step forward, take on a popular incumbent with a whole lot of money in the bank.
Yeah.
And like with Rob Bell, it's hard to get people to run sometimes against an incumbent like that.
There you go. So the big meeting is tonight. We'll find out who the nominees are. I guess, I would imagine WINA would have that for you tonight.
I'm sure they will.
And maybe the Republicans could be sure and call the WINA newsroom when they know and let us know. 977 News. What else you got?
Regional Transit Authority. There was a meeting a couple weeks ago you may remember we talked a lot about this. The city and county were trying to get together and figure out how to do transit, public transit, in a much bigger way.
Right.
How to better incorporate 29 North and get people into the university, to downtown. Right now, it's a very downtown-centric bus system.
Yeah.
And the question before these decision makers was, what could we do working together to expand transit to other places? That required help from the Virginia General Assembly. David Toscano put in a couple bills, our delegate for the 57th District, and they had to get permission to even form an RTA. And then they had to get permission to do a voter referendum to ask the voters if they would consider raising taxes to pay for increased transit and transportation needs. They did not get permission to fund this or even ask about funding
yet. Yeah, that's the point. They didn't even get permission to have a referendum if no. they wanted to.
So this was a meeting to bring themselves back together after the General Assembly session and say, okay, now what do we do?
Now
we've got permission. We don't have money.
We got a permission to be a group, but no permission
should
to get
we do
money.
Anything?
Yeah.
The bottom line was they decided, yes, they should do something. So they are having the staff of the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission put together a proposal, figure out, you know, what consultants could they work with to do this? What are the governance issues that need to be figured out? And then that plan will come together to be shared with City Council, Board of Supervisors before they actually do anything.
Yeah.
But they're going to keep the ball moving on this. And
I think they should. I think this is an exciting thing. And I'm one of those people who likes to see more cooperation between the city and the county because it makes fiscal sense. You know, sometimes you spend, you know, you just spend this money over and over again for the same thing right across the street from each other. It doesn't make any sense. So this is a great example of bringing the people together, getting them all at the same table. And in the end, we could have a much better regional transit system here.
One of the interesting things, Coy, is the level of frustration is really growing with transportation funding in Virginia. I've mentioned before on this show, Dennis Rooker saying he's basically fed up with it. He just wants to let the roads start falling apart, and then they can point to Richmond and say, there's your problem.
Yeah.
That sentiment keeps coming up in meetings like this, and Dennis Rooker had some very pointed remarks to say. And he basically said, quote, I think we need to let what's happening in Richmond play out a little, because I think, given these most recent cuts, the cuts in funding, there's going to be a big public backlash at some point soon.
He hopes.
So of the people, at least in the room, they're sort of now hoping for a backlash, that as the maintenance money dwindles, as new funding for new projects disappears, there's no money now for unpaved roads, that as rest areas start closing, as potholes start developing, as grass starts growing in the median on the sides of the road, they're hoping that frustration will lead to change in Richmond. Now, they'd be happy with
maybe
with change that just led to money coming here to fund these things.
Yeah.
But they're also talking very specifically about change in people in Richmond. So whether that's, you know, statewide office, governor, lieutenant governor, or at the delegate and senator level, they're talking about they want change there as well.
Interesting. That's really interesting. It ain't coming that soon. We'll see what happens after the election.
Yeah. So,
but nothing's going to happen before then, in November.
Right. Well, of course, the next session isn't until next year.
Right, right.
Anyway.
But a good idea to keep doing the planning.
Right.
Keep figuring out, what would we do to improve the bus system?
And that's the strategy for a lot of people trying to get things done in Richmond, is you just keep asking year after year after year, and eventually something may change and you might get lucky.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. All right, what's the latest on water?
Okay, what are the two things we're waiting for on the water supply? This is the interactive part of the show where I quiz you to engage you and the audience.
The dredging.
Dredging. We have
because
a dredging.
The city wants an RFP on dredging, right?
That's right. So that RFP has been approved. It's going to be put out soon if it hasn't been put out already. So we're waiting for those.
And that's basically asking the private business community of those who do dredging, give us a proposal, give us a bid. These are the things we want it looked at. So, if you do this kind of work, come to the city, give us a bid.
Right.
And we will see if we want to work with you.
Right. So we're waiting to hear companies respond to that.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece of information.
Great opportunity for private industry.
This summer. The other thing we're waiting for is for the expert panel working on the Ragged Mountain Dam project to render its findings. This is, we had the inflated cost on that project related to fractured rock that was found. Gannett Fleming saying, I think we need to build a bigger dam. And so now we're waiting on this independent expert panel to render its point of view. And that should be coming in the near future.
And we went to the expert panel because they were sort of fed up with Gannett Fleming, right?
Well, they had two engineering firms.
I mean, that's how
firms.
I read it.
Well, there were two engineering firms. They got the estimate from Gannett Fleming. They weren't happy.
Yeah.
So they went to Schnabel Engineering and they got a second opinion.
Schnabel?
Schnabel.
I love it.
The second opinion came in and then they said, now we think we have something in these
to be
investigated.
Now we got a problem. Yeah.
Because they had two wildly different numbers.
Yeah. And they were both going way up.
And they were both up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this
so that's
a lot more expensive than anybody had been told.
But something that didn't get a lot of attention that I want to bring to your attention.
Were the aliens that landed. What? Go ahead.
We could use some aliens. If they could come down and fix some of these things, that'd be great. We had an attorney named William B. Ellis write an opinion for the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. And basically, this attorney was asked, and City Council and Board of Supervisors said, hey, we need to ask this question. So everyone was on board with having somebody look at this. And the question was, are we putting ourselves in jeopardy if we start questioning the plan, basically? If we start revising the population numbers,
and the majority
revising
of
the demand numbers.
The majority of the Ravana Arbaugh County Sewer Service Authority definitely believe they are.
Right. And you'll be able to talk to
Liz Palmer. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Yeah.
But, you know, this letter is pretty interesting, and you may ask her about it. But this attorney basically said, you know, right now, what you've done thus far is probably not in jeopardy as long as you're diligently pursuing the plan. If you stop pursuing it and the regulators get a little concerned, then you might be in trouble.
Yeah.
The other thing he said was restudying and altering demand projections, seeking to lower the height of the reservoir, or reevaluating the practicability of dredging, those things could place the authority's existing permits at risk and result in new and unpredictable regulatory processes.
Yeah.
So what the bottom line, what this attorney is saying
don't
is,
ask any questions, just build it.
If you start if you start revisiting your assumptions, you open yourselves up to two things that are important. You open yourself up to the public and people who are opposed to the plan filing lawsuits. If you start any part of this process over, you create new opportunities for people to come in, raise questions, and put this thing in the courts. This attorney says because the window of questioning is sort of passed on these permits that have already been issued, that people don't really have legal standing to come in and challenge them now, right?
Right.
The other thing—
Full steam ahead.
The other thing—
Chop down those trees.
The other thing he's saying is that—
We don't want any truthiness around here.
If the regulatory process could get messy, if you start over— One, there's a lot of time and money involved in doing that. He doesn't really go into that. But just that it's uncertain what the regulators would demand that you do.
Yeah.
One of the things Tom Frederick, who runs the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, has said is that there's a conditional permit right now on the Ragged Mountain Dam because it needs to be repaired or replaced. And if that is not done, the state could say you can no longer use it because it's not safe.
So you got to get a new permit.
Or you've got to stop using it for water supply and lower it. Take the water out of it.
Right, right.
Because it's not safe. That's a major concern that he has raised in these public meetings. So anyway, this was a new piece of information.
Interesting.
City Council and the board both asked for it, and that came out recently.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and Betty is on line one. Betty, be real quick. Go right ahead.
Real quick. Just this more scare tactics, this letter the attorney put out. The attorney is the same attorney who in 2005, 2006 said, we can't dredge, it's too expensive, no way, it's too expensive. Exact same attorney. These are just scare tactics. There's scare tactics from Ivana. There's scare tactics from the attorney. The public has got to realize that they are so afraid to let us know what dredging costs because it's going to save us millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they are willing to do and say anything to keep that information from us. And I hope the public doesn't get bamboozled by all of this nonsense. We went to Richmond. The regulators told us that our elected officials can modify the permit, no problem. They can also choose to keep the permit they have and not implement it right now without any jeopardy to that permit and go ahead and dredge first. So all of this that we're hearing is just more of the same. It's more trying to keep us from knowing what dredging costs. And I hope the public doesn't let these officials get away with this, because there's a small group of people that are scared to death to let us know what dredging costs. And pretty soon we're going to know, and then we're going to save millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Betty, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And I'm sure you'll be listening tomorrow when Liz Palmer is on the program. Liz Palmer will join us tomorrow on Charlottesville Right Now to give her take, a vocal supporter of the 50-year water supply plan. And I'm sure she would take issue with some things that Betty has said, and we'll look forward to her response tomorrow on the program, this little show where everybody is welcome at the table and we hear all sides. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, SeaVilleTomorrow.org. What is this about a new road? There's a new road in Fontaine?
Well, people would like there to be a new road. In general, most people want this road. It's called the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector.
Yeah.
So we're switching to roads now and proffers and things related to UVA and the research park there.
Well, it's gotten to be that that's the only way you can build a road is if a developer comes in and says, I want to build a new neighborhood or something here. Then you say, okay, can you do a road for us too? Because Richmond won't give us any money for it. Can you?
And I was in a meeting last week where Dennis Rooker, supervisor, said that to Leonard Sandridge of the University of Virginia.
Mr. Leonard Sanders.
Yes, they were both sitting there. And Dennis said, I'm expecting a road when you expand the research park.
Really?
Mr. Sandridge replied, we will build a road up to the edge of our property line, and that's all we're going to do.
I love it.
And I've been telling you that since 2007. And I called Carol Wood with University of Virginia to get them on the record about this.
Yeah.
And she basically forwarded me the emails from 2007. And yes, indeed, that's what they said back then.
So the university's not proffering any kind of connector road when they plan on expanding the Fontaine Avenue Research Park.
They have got a request in front of Albemarle County right now to expand the research park. And as you know, with big projects like Biscuit Run, North Point, most of them these days, when they're that big, they're doing some off-site proffers related to transportation. So a proffer is where the developer volunteers in quotes, to help mitigate the impacts of their development. Fontaine Research Park is a big employment center.
If you drive
along I-64 at about 8 in the morning, crossing 29 and you're heading towards Richmond, you see the cars queuing up trying to get off the interstate and turn on to 29 North. And I assume a lot of that traffic's going to the research.
A lot of people work in there, yeah.
Or to the hospital or somewhere else.
And a whole lot more are going to work there.
UVA related. So they want to expand the research park, but what they are saying is that the challenge of getting across the railroad tracks and connecting to what's called the Granger property down along Sunset Avenue and back towards Old Lynchburg Road in that area is going to be so expensive. And the numbers are probably in the $10 to $20 million range that someone will have to pay to cross or tunnel under these railroad tracks. And Leonard Sandridge and the University of Virginia, they're saying that's beyond the scope of what we think is appropriate to ask for.
Yeah.
And so they're saying we will build our part of the road, but just up to our property line. And they're saying, we assume you'll ask the developers of the Granger property next door to do the same thing. And then if you can put a bridge there, it'll be great.
Who said that? The county did?
No, that's basically what the university is saying.
Oh, okay.
If you can figure out how to put a bridge there, it'll all work out just fine.
So go get money for a bridge.
UVA is not volunteering to put any money on the table. And I think this is going to come back to bite them, because for the first time, and we talked about this a couple years ago, but Albemarle County, when they looked at the comprehensive plan for that part of the county, they inserted some language that I drew some attention to at the time that said that any new development that occurred would require basically adequate transportation facilities.
Oh, so they could argue, UVA, you're not providing adequate.
Written that into the comp plan. That gives them a reason to deny this rezoning.
Ooh.
And in fact, the staff are already writing letters saying UVA is not providing sufficient evidence or mitigation related transportation.
Interesting.
So this negotiation will continue.
Of course.
But this is the latest installment of it.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn a whole lot more online and read more about all these topics at SeaVilleTomorrow.com. CBSNewsLocal.org. Brian, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thanks, Coy.
A break for CBS News local news and weather. We're back with sports right here on WINA. Best seat in the house coming up. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.